Drehbuchautorinnen und Autoren sind ein zentraler Bestandteil der Filmbranche. Darum geht es im Interview mit dem Autoren Zack Stentz. Im ersten Teil des Interviews hat er von seinem Karrierebeginn und seiner Erfahrung im Fernsehen gesprochen. Im zweiten Teil gibt er Einblicke hinter die Kulissen seiner Arbeit am Marvel-Film Thor und seinen aktuellen Projekten. Wie gestaltet man eine gelungene Comic-Verfilmung? Bleibt dran für interessante Geschichten aus Hollywood. Wie ihr im letzten Teil hören könnt, hat Zack auch Ableger von Kinofilmen in Serienform entwickelt. Er hat für Netflix die Animationsserie Jurassic World – Neue Abenteuer konzipiert. Gab es Unterschiede im Schreibprozess zwischen Realfilm und Animation?
There were some differences, but the most interesting thing for writing for computer animation, as opposed to if it had been a hand-drawn show, is that computer animation is a lot more like live action than you would think it is, because it's all about the builds. It's all about the labor that it goes into building a particular set, building a particular environment, or building a particular character. You know, in television, you have your standing sets that, you know, that you want to use as many times as possible because you spent all of that time and effort building them. It's very similar in computer generated animated shows. We can't have 8 guest stars for this because we can't build that many CGI models. It's like, how do we make this building and this lab and this corridor a very slight redress of one that we've used before?
In einer Szene der Animationsserie wurde ein Moment aus dem Film Jurassic World aus einem anderen Blickwinkel gezeigt. Hier fanden Zack und sein Team einen kreativen Weg, Geld zu sparen.
One of the episodes that I wrote, we saw the downing of the helicopter in Jurassic World, but from a different perspective. And it was like, well, we can't afford to build a helicopter. And then we realized that our sister show on DreamWorks Universal, Fast and the Furious Spy Racers, had a helicopter. So we were able to borrow the computer build of their helicopter and use it in ours and save money that way. I think we probably shared some background characters and some other vehicles and things like that as well.
Neben Science-Fiction-Fernsehserien und Jugendgeschichten war Zack mehrfach im Superhelden-Genre tätig. Wie schreibt man Charaktere mit Superkräften dreidimensional?
I think on some level you have to accept them on their own term. You can find the comedy in the situation being funny without the character feeling the need to comment on it. You know, with a character like Thor, you know, that he's much more of a classic Marvel character, but with him it was, you know, even more so than a Tony Stark, arrogance is his Achilles heel. You wanted to see this tremendously capable but arrogant man brought low and have to build himself up again. You know, you find different points of connection with all of those characters. It's very possible to write a character who's just unironically good and doesn't need to have a hidden dark side or be quipping to the audience all the time.
Comicfiguren haben häufig eine jahrzehntelange Hintergrundgeschichte. Wie schreibt man für Charaktere, die schon lange vor ihrer Verfilmung etabliert sind?
Even established characters, you have the core of the character that you need to be true to. You know, you can bring your own notes to it. I would give the example of our Loki is definitely true to the character that was established by Lee and Kirby and that he's a trickster character, but he's also different. The Loki that we had seen before wasn't this wounded and hurt Loki who wants to be loved and wants to be accepted by Odin. That was what we brought to the table on that. You know, going forward, I feel very proud of the fact that it's very much informed the Loki character ever since. That, you know, I don't think Loki is as interesting of a character if he doesn't have that core of where do I belong? I don't feel at home as a frost giant or as a Asgardian.
Zack hat zahlreiche Drehbücher für Kinofilme geschrieben. Darunter auch einige, die nie produziert oder Jahre später von anderen Filmschaffenden umgesetzt wurden. Guckt er sich diese Filme am Ende selbst an? Schaut er auch Fortsetzungen seiner Filme, die ohne sein Zutun entstanden sind?
Some things I won't watch because it's just kind of too emotionally painful. It feels a little bit like watching your ex-girlfriend in the sports car with the new guy drive past. But other times it's a lot of fun. You know, like for some reason, they invited my wife and I to the premiere of Thor Ragnarok. I love Thor Ragnarok. I thought it was terrific. It was delightful to see. You know, it felt like in a weird way, it was very true to what we had done with the first one. And, you know, they finally worked in, you know, we had used Immigrant Song in our draft of the first movie. So it was great to finally see it.
Auch im Fernsehen sind viele seiner eigenen Ideen bisher nicht vor der Kamera gelandet. Über seine Arbeit an der Serie The Flash hat den Produzenten und Autoren Greg Berlanti kennengelernt, mit dem an einer eigenen Serie gearbeitet hat. Da hat Zack aber ein unvorhergesehenes Weltereignis einen Strich durch die Rechnung gemacht.
The thing with Greg that I wrote was about Hawaii getting cut off from the rest of the world by a pandemic because a hurricane was passing over the island and all air travel was shut down. By pure luck, it's unaffected by this pandemic. Unfortunately, February 2020 was a bad time to take that particular show out. My joke was that it was Battlestar Galactica on Earth because it was, you know, this little remnant of humanity trying to hold civilization together when the rest of the world has fallen apart. I remain very proud of it.
Auf der Plattform X, ehemals Twitter, hat Zack in seiner Bio ein Projekt namens Raven gelistet. Was hat es damit auf sich?
That is an action film that my younger brother and I wrote together that the company Story Kitchen is producing. And Story Kitchen was founded by Derek Kolstad, the writer of John Wick and Nobody. So it's very much in the wheelhouse of kind of grounded contemporary action. And they're in the process of setting that up, but with some pretty exciting people. Honestly, it's much more in the Nobody wheelhouse than the John Wick in that it's much more a role for a dramatic actor to kick ass than it is for an action, a quote unquote action star. The writing in it is some of the best writing that I've done. So I'm really excited for that to get made and for people to see it.
Raven ist nicht das einzige Projekt, auf das mit Vorfreude blickt. Über manche davon darf allerdings noch nicht viel verraten.
You know, I have several things in development now. I can't really talk about the title, but a buddy of mine and I wrote a pilot that's an adaptation of a very beloved fantasy novel series. It looks like A24 is in the process of picking that up to take that out. That would be a tremendous thing if A24 is hopefully able to set that up somewhere.
Man darf gespannt sein, ob diese geheimnisvolle Adaption einer beliebten Fantasy-Buchreihe das Licht der Welt erblicken wird. Andere zukünftige Projekte von ihm sind dafür bereits offiziell angekündigt.
I'm working on a limited series about the reintroduction of wolves to Yellowstone National Park. That's been a tremendous amount of fun because they're human stories, but for huge amounts of screen time, it's only wolves on screen. And the wolves don't talk. It's not the Lion King. So you have to find ways of conveying this incredible drama with non-talking characters. I'm really excited about that because no one's ever done anything like it. If it ends up going, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be live action for the human characters, and then it's going to be photorealistic CGI for the wolves. So integrating those two is going to be a fun challenge.
Aber was für Herausforderungen bringt es mit sich, Wölfe digital zu animieren?
The eye will accept a computer-generated dinosaur or a tiger much more than it would a wolf or a dog because, like, look at the Harrison Ford Call of the Wild, where a lot of people had problems with that dog, and it was beautiful animation, but the problem is everyone knows what a dog looks like. We see dogs in our everyday lives, so the bar is much higher to have that the eye accepts as being real, but you know, I think we can get there.
Vielen Dank an Zack Stentz für seine Zeit in unserer Radioaktiv-Interviewreihe mit Hollywood-Filmemachern. In den nächsten Folgen geht es in die Buchwelt, durch ein Interview mit einer amerikanischen weltweiten Bestseller-Autorin. Seid gespannt!